Old Hall Studios.
30 seconds.
And now the act you've all been waiting for.
Now back to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
I am the smartest man alive.
Call Johnny now at 844-5600.
Funny name for a guy.
20 years of sports coverage. This is Nashville's sports original.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
And welcome to hour number two. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you along with Jay Henson, broadcasting out of the Goggin Cole Hall Studios, the coldest team in town, now offering great wages and benefits for drivers to join their winning team. If you would like more information, you can go to their website, gogginkold.com. Coming up at 5:35, Trey Scott, national editor for college football with 247sports.com. But like we enjoy doing every Friday at this time, going back to the hotline, handicapper Lee Sterling with Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com. Big week last week, overall 10-2 for his clients, including the big 45 unit selection with the Central Florida pick over Stanford. 3-0 so far on this young season and those big picks. Lee, I hope you had a great week to this point, and welcome back to the show.
Yeah, we did. Thanks a lot, and we'll just act like that Tennessee game didn't exist last night, right?
Well, I will say this. I had Jacksonville and, you know, plus the points, and I had the under. And unfortunately, I also had Houston and was feeling really good about that pick last night against Tulane before Tulane did the all faking.
Weren't they up, what, 28-7 at one point?
It was 28-7 in the first half. And so, but they're in good shape. This game's all tied up, and you know Tulane tries to pull the Dan Marino faking like he's gonna down the ball instead the winning touchdown.
That was a great play. I've never seen that run before. Have you?
Yeah, Dan Marino pulled it off back in his day.
No. We're talking about. We're talking about where the running back with 27 seconds to go.
Oh, yeah. Totally different with that one. Yeah, absolutely. Now, that was certainly pulling one out of the hat right there.
Oh, yeah. I know the play you're talking about now. Yeah. So, I mean, but that play with 27 seconds ago was great. It didn't win the game, but it certainly set them up and put them in a position to have a chance.
How about it? I love stories like a Tulane. You know, here's a team that went through so much during Hurricane Katrina. And to go from that to where they are right now, I love this emerging story with Tulane.
Yep.
We'll see how it all plays out. All right, by the way, how did you go with the Jacksonville game last night?
I actually had the other side, had the wrong side. I don't know what was more painful, losing money on the game and losing from my clients or having to watch that game. So even Tom Brady was upset.
Well, he was upset with the officiating, but yeah. But if you're going to make it that obvious when you're holding, I mean, where players are past you and you're not as good as the person you're lined up against, and you know they're already past you and you've got your hand out to hold them to make sure that they don't kill your quarterback. I mean, if you're going to make it that obvious,
no, almost every call was. I mean, it was justifiable. It was too much. I mean, this is like I said, there was no flow to the game at all whatsoever, and you know it's tough enough. To watch some of these bad games, but to watch it in the rain and then all the penalties, it was terrible.
All right, let's start with a big game. I love games like this because to me, Georgia and Notre Dame tomorrow night could be a game changer moving forward. We're already seeing a trend where we're getting a lot of these nice home and home series. I look at the fact that Notre Dame will be playing Arkansas, Alabama, along with Texas A&M the next decade. We're seeing big schools coming to your home field and you making the return trip. I love that, and I think tomorrow night for those that are still on, wavering whether or not they should start going down and taking on this trend, giving up a chance for them to win their bonus money in case their team doesn't get to bowl eligibility. I think watching that atmosphere tomorrow night, this to me has a chance to be an incredible game changer.
Yeah.
I first started leaning towards Notre Dame on this one based on last year, the trash talking from the Georgia Bulldogs and Notre Dame with an opportunity to, you know, maybe let this be a statement game for them. But the more and more I thought about it, I think it really more it kind of gets into the favor of the Bulldogs. So here's the Bulldogs. Not only were able to run their mouth last year, but this is actually a chance for them to use their abilities on the football field to let that part of it do their talking. So originally I thought 14 points, that's awfully high. That's a lot of points to give up. But then again, I remember how Notre Dame, usually in these situations, they blew it in 2012. They blew it last year. Anytime they are on these kind of stages trying to show everybody they deserve to be one of the four top teams in the country, they prove us wrong. And so I'm taking the Georgia Bulldogs, giving the 14 to Notre Dame. And Alan Bell is also taking Georgia, given the 14. Feels like the running game for Georgia will be too much for Notre Dame.
I think that's the mismatch in the game. So that's the problem for Notre Dame here. They're small on the defensive front. I think they average something like 274 a man, and Georgia's over 320, so that's almost a 50-pound advantage. But Notre Dame is smart. I think they're going to realize that they can't just allow Georgia just to move down the field 5, 8, 10-yard chunks. So I think they're going to load the box up sometimes. I think they're going to also blitz early and often, and they're going to make Georgia beat them throwing the football. And Georgia, I don't know what kind of passing game they have. They lost their top five receivers from last year. Here's where I think losing helps a team. I think Notre Dame losing that game 30-3, they ran it for maybe a quarter and a half last year in that semifinal against Clemson. I think that kind of game motivates a team for the next season and the next big game early in the season. So I think Ian Book will be fine. I think he'll settle in. I think they're going to take some shots. I think they're going to maybe try a trick play or two. Georgia wins 34-27, but Notre Dame covers.
That's fair. All right, yep. Next up, Texas A&M. They are a four-point favorite at home against Auburn. And one of the things that we saw, and it changed last year, but since Texas A&M joined the SEC, when these two teams would meet up, the visiting team would win the ball game. And it looked like that was going to be the case again last year, except Kellen Mond gave up a key turnover through an interception. The Auburn Tigers rallied for that victory. So Kellen Mond remembers last year. He also remembers his poor performance against Clemson this year. So Texas A&M, after one loss already, look, this is an elimination game as far as the college football playoff. Right now, both A&M and Auburn, if they win out, they're making the college football playoff. I'll let that sink in for just a second. But I think we go back to the trend of the visiting team winning in this series. Gus Malzahn, you know, he hears all the talk. Another one leaked out this week. We're going to try to get Bob Stoops as our next head coach. Well, hello. I mean, here's a top eight team in the country taking the field tomorrow, representing everybody down on the plains. Gus Malzahn loves these kind of contests. Alan Bell feels the same way as I do about this situation. It may be a game that A&M actually can pull it off and win by a point or two. But something, I'm just not going against Gus Malzahn until that horse throws me. I'm staying with the Gus bus there. I'm taking Auburn plus the four, and Alan Bell is doing the same thing.
So am I. And they run the football. And as much as you want to talk about the game has changed, in the SEC, you dominate the line of scrimmage, you're going to win a lot of games. And Auburn running for an average of 282 a game and giving up just 100. Texas A&M's running for just 174, and two of the three opponents were Texas State, my alma mater, who's not good at all, and Lamar. They've already lost their starting running back Corbin and the backup the week before. It's a weird series. The visitors 6-0-1 against the spread since A&M entered the SEC in 2012, and I just think they're a different look and different feel to the Auburn team here since Gus Malzahn started calling the plays again. Wrong team's favorite, Auburn 28-27.
Florida, Tennessee. Look, the stats don't lie. I mean, Tennessee has lost seven straight in Gainesville. They're 1-13 against the Gators since 2005. It kind of reminds me when we start thinking Michigan, Ohio State, how, you know, two teams that used to be something, and now one of them is and one of them is not for whatever reason. But this is also, when you look at the last two trips that Tennessee went into Gainesville, 2015, 2017, we're talking about very tight games. The last time they went there in 2017, they lose 26-20. In 2015, it was 28-27 win by the Gators they pulled off. So with that said, I'm expecting a close game. And then you start looking into how Tennessee last year under Jeremy Pruitt, they had no business going down on and beating Auburn. They had no business beating Kentucky, both ranked teams at the time. Can we see the upset happening with Tennessee beating Florida? I mean, it is Kyle Trask. He's making a first start. He grew up being a huge fan of the Gators. And with that said, we don't know how. You know, it was great when you're not expected to come in, and all of a sudden now you have to rally your team. There's no pressure there. And the fact that he's had to think about it all week, you wonder if he's going to be also with 11 a.m. kickoff, being a situation where he makes a lot of mental mistakes. I don't necessarily think Tennessee's going to win this game, but I think 14 is too much. I'm taking the Gators. I'm taking Tennessee plus the 14. Alan Bell's going just the opposite. He just does not have a lot of faith in Tennessee, barely being able to do much as far as from an offensive standpoint. So he's taking Florida, giving the 14.
I'm going to ride you, and I think you got some really good points here. Let me add to that. Trask, I think, is going to be the right guy, and I think he's going to do a great job. May not put up as many points, but he's also not going to cost his defense and his team many points. Felipe Franks is certainly takes more chances and turns the ball over more. So a couple rules that I go by in handicapping, and I never try to go against these 12. And some of them are like certain coaches, you know, as home dogs, like Pat Fitzgerald. You know, I'm either on Pat Fitzgerald as a home underdog or I'm not playing the game. I mean, the guy's hitting like 75% of his games when he's a home underdog. Now, if you want to lay double digits, you better have a high-scoring team. Florida hasn't scored more than 30 points in any of their games this year, the two against these Division I teams. So that's a problem. And then I look at pace. And you know, if you've got a team like Central Florida that gets off 77, 78 plays a game, you know, laying double digits, I think it's great. But Florida is getting off only 65 plays per game. That ranks 115 out of 120. And I just think Tennessee has enough talent to hang here. Tennessee has players. They just don't have the confidence. So they'll be ready to go. I mean, this game means a lot more to them than it does to Florida. Florida wins 27-20, but Tennessee covers.
This next game, I go back to before the season started looking at Georgia-Vanderbilt, and I felt like Vanderbilt was the better side, taking the points against the Bulldogs. And it really kind of played out that way until the very, very end, although Georgia was able to cover late. I see this LSU matchup. You know, honestly, I would like Vanderbilt's chances a lot better if they were on the road tomorrow instead of hosting LSU. And the reason why is because you have to pack the bags. You have to get on the plane. You know you're on a business trip. And I would have liked Vanderbilt's chances a lot more being down in Baton Rouge, honestly. And the fact, too, that LSU, when you think about 11 a.m. kickoffs, you could see where maybe LSU misses their wake-up call, per se, and maybe they slumber in, and it's not until the third quarter before they start playing a game. I think this LSU team is built differently. I love their schedule, the fact that they play four, get a bye week. Play four, get a bye week. It's not like they're having to string together six or seven games before they get a bye week. So mentally, I think they'll be fresh. Honestly, when you think about from a Vanderbilt perspective, the only way you can make this a one-half game is if LSU is uninspired, if they're flat. And I don't think that is the case at all. LSU looking up to Clemson, Alabama, Georgia in the national rankings, you know, they want to show everybody that they deserve to be there. And to do that, it's not just taking care of business against Texas on the road. You have to take care of these games. The other part, too, LSU, number two rushing defense in the conference, allowing just over 80 yards per game. And look, they play well even in this situation. I just think that from a Vanderbilt perspective, I just don't like this matchup at all. I'm taking LSU, giving the 23.5. Alan Bell's on the opposite side. He thinks that that LSU will not care all that much, and so because of it, you know, they won't be able to win the game by that kind of margin. So he's going on the side of Vanderbilt plus the 23.5.
I think the right side is probably LSU here. Vanderbilt's defense, bottom 10 in percentage of plays, blitzing on defense. I think you got to get some pressure on LSU's quarterback and probably can't get to him, but you got to take a shot here. Burrow, 11 touchdowns. You had to be picked off. Vandy off the bye week. They'll probably have a decent game plan, but they're at a disadvantage because they can't stop the run. They allowed 325 to Georgia, and then they can't stop the pass. Purdue threw for 509 against them, and LSU's better than Purdue. So on top of all that, LSU's got great special teams. People forget about that. That's a big part in the game. And, you know, they might take one to the house. They might block a punt. I mean, the punter and kicker aren't great for Vanderbilt. Give me LSU here, 49-13.
Lee Sterling, handicapper with Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com, joining us. From an NFL perspective, Kansas City, a six-point favorite against the Baltimore Ravens. And look, Baltimore, one of those surprise teams early on with the fact that their hot start, Lamar Jackson playing. You know, even if you're the biggest fan of Lamar Jackson, I don't think you would have said that he would gotten off to this kind of start through his first two games, right? So you get this matchup, Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City, you know, playing a host to the Baltimore Ravens. You know, for me, I understand that at times KC's defense, you know, you can make the argument that, oh, this is not good. You got a Lamar Jackson who can pass, also can run. I just think at home, Patrick Mahomes, the Chiefs' offense will be clicking. The defense will make enough plays where the 6 points is not that much of a factor. I'm taking Kansas City, giving Baltimore the six.
Well, they played last year, and Kansas City won in overtime. In Kansas City, 27-24. I don't think they're much different than last year. I mean, their defense got some different players, but I don't think they're any better. Their run defense, number 27th in the NFL. And I was not a fan of Lamar Jackson. I did not think he was a guy that, watching him last year, was going to be able to guy that could take him to the next level. But he has improved a lot, a whole lot, and put some nice pieces around him. Ingram at running back, Marquise Brown, great pickup in the draft. I mean, here's a guy, probably a 4-2, 4-3 guy. He takes the top off the defense. So I think they got it all going on. They're not afraid of going in there. They almost won the game last year. I think it's going to be more of a shootout. I think it'll be high scoring. But I have Baltimore winning the game. I'm going to put half my wager on Baltimore plus the 6 to 6.5, and I'm going to take them on the money line. Baltimore wins this game 38-35.
And by the way, Alan Bell also has Baltimore, so I'm going to be all by my lonesome. And in fact, when we look at this week, you're by yourself with Notre Dame. Alan is by himself with Florida. Alan is by himself with Vanderbilt, and I'm by myself with Kansas City. And okay. Going into this week, by the way, you've got the one-game lead over both Alan and myself.
Okay. Well, it's got a good contest. If they want to join me, we're having just an incredible start. 2 weeks ago, we had, you know, Oregon as our big play. They won 77-6. We went 9-5 overall for our clients. And then last week, 10-2, and then hit on a game I've been waiting on for a long time with Central Florida. So a lot of people, you know, they go out there and they start doing their handicap in a couple of weeks. I laugh at some of these guys on TV. I think, listen, I don't remember which it was, which guy it was from ESPN, like a week before the season, said he's going to hunker down and start studying football. And I'm saying to myself, wow, he's going to only look at the top 25 teams. I look at JUCO, guys. I watch tape of JUCO quarterbacks, running back receivers, and want to see how they look, you know, and how they'll maybe fit in with their new teams. And I go to spring games, probably 12 to 15 spring games every year. So I had seen something last year with that in March with UCF scrimmage and their spring game. Everyone was talking about Brandon Wimbush. I watched him, wasn't that impressed. Watched Darrell Mack, the kid that took over Mackenzie Milton, didn't impress me. And I'm watching this kid, and I never heard of Dylan Gabriel. I don't follow recruiting that much. You hear certain names, you know, in the state and around the country. But, you know, I'm watching this kid making the right reads and throwing the ball right on the money. And I just said, this kid is the real deal. Look him up. And sure enough, he's from the same high school in Hawaii as Tua and Timmy Chang. He's broken all their records. And, I mean, here's a kid that, you know, looks like Hawaii is now the new cradle of quarterbacks. It's not Pennsylvania. So, you got to uncover things. Sometimes you go to these spring games, 4 or 5 in a row, and you see nothing. But if you can find something and use it to your advantage later on, and when I knew he was going to start, and I knew Stanford was in trouble, not the same team this year, I knew it was a rock-solid 45-unit play. So I know people want to join me, and maybe sometimes it's the price point, and they don't want to sign up for the month of the season. So I'm going to do this week. If they want to join me for Saturday or Sunday, they get 7 games on Saturday to $77. And When you purchase it, it's an instant download. As soon as you purchase it, the games pop open. You got all seven games. So you don't have to call me back tomorrow morning. Also, I've got all the games for Sunday, 5 for $55. Same thing, instant download. So I'm making it so affordable, $11 a play. Everyone can afford that. So you want to hop on board, go to ParamountSports.com. 7 for $77 on Saturday, 5 for $55 on Sunday. Or you want the game of the week, you want to order it here at the office. How about this game? The Chargers in Houston on Sunday. What a game that's going to be. Just call 800-400-9741.
Lee, as always, we appreciate you. I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful weekend, and happy winnings to you, and we'll talk next Friday.
You too, Johnny.
Thank you. Lee Sterling once again with Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com, and that phone number again, 800-400-9741, 800-400-9741. If you'd like to be a part of the show, 615-844-5600. Still coming up a little bit later this hour, Trey Scott. He's the national editor for college football with 247sports.com, looking at some of these bigger marquee matchups this weekend. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. As we keep updated with traffic, it sure is busy out here on the South Loop, the West Loop, just trying to scramble and get out of downtown. 40 East is heavy out past 840 now. Head back towards Lebanon out into Wilson County. Charlotte Pike at Westboro. There's been a crash there at that location. That Charlotte Pike tied it pretty good near that Sonic. And it's also heavy traffic to the north, 65 and through Madison. The 40th annual Oktoberfest kicks off in Germantown Thursday, October 10th through the 13th. Check it out, thenashvilleoktoberfest.com. I'm Commander Chuck, you're on time traffic.
I want you to listen really close to a message from the folks at ShieldLawGroup.com and my friend Bill Kalutis. Your credit reports are your financial report card. A good credit report is necessary to get a mortgage, car loan, and credit cards. Even getting rental housing insurance or a job is dependent on your credit report. Here's what blows me away. 40 million consumers have an error on their credit report, and 2 million of those are so serious they're likely being overcharged for mortgages, credit card debts, auto loans, insurance policies, and other financial obligations. If you want to know more about your credit report, I want you to contact Bill Kalutis at ShieldLawGroup.com or call Bill at 615-742-8020. ShieldLawGroup.com and my friend Bill Kalutis.
Ensworth is a kindergarten through 12th grade coeducational independent school located on two campuses in Nashville, Tennessee. The school incorporates a nurturing community with a challenging program to create a unique, joyful environment where students can develop the intellectual agility, self-confidence, and discipline they need to excel. Visit our website at ensworth.com to learn more.
Life is all about perfect pairings. Sweet and salty, naughty and nice, hot and cold. Well, add instant and jackpot to the list because that's what you'll get when you add Quick Cash to your next Tennessee Cash play. Quick Cash is a simple way to turn one game into two. With Quick Cash, you'll have a chance to win up to $500 instantly right there at the register. Plus, you'll still have a chance to win the Tennessee Cash drawing later. Get the best of both worlds and get twice the fun. It's Quick Cash with Tennessee Cash, only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
Powerball is throwing the ultimate party, and one lucky winner is going to win $1 million. Introducing Powerball's New Year's Rockin' VIP experience. You and a guest could take the trip of a lifetime to New York City, packed with exclusive access to the biggest events in town. Plus, you'll receive an entry for a chance to become the first Powerball millionaire of 2020. Announced live on Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin' Eve. The only way to win is to play Powerball, so get your ticket today. Brought to you by the Tennessee Lottery. Visit TNLottery.com for details. Please play responsibly.
This is the Johnny Ballpark Prank Show.
When you talk about sports radio, it's pure. Okay, it's not sound bites. Mr. Franks, man, you do it as good as anybody. So I really appreciate, you know, in my time in Nashville, you watched me grow up. You helped me grow. Okay, man, you've provided plenty of conversation, you know, man, for us to talk about all things Vanderbilt. I thank you for that. I truly do.
Weekdays starting at 4 from Nashville's Sports Radio, WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
Listen live online to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show at WNSR.com.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, along with Jay Henson, broadcasting out of the Goggin Cole Hall Studios, 615-844-5600. Don't forget, I'd like to invite you to check me out tomorrow morning and every Saturday during the college football season with our countdown to kickoff tailgate show. I'll be with you tomorrow morning from 10 a.m. to noon. Before us, however, remember, from 8 to 9, Prep Football Talk with Greg Pogue, along with Coach Bubba Spears and Craig Ladd, as they look back at all the action from tonight's play in the high school ranks. But on the show tomorrow, and like we do every Saturday, we break down the bigger games, SEC, Top 25. We'll have interviews, and also beginning with the 11 a.m. kickoffs, which also impacts not only Vanderbilt but Tennessee tomorrow, two games that they'll be we'll be keeping focused on in 11 a.m. We'll have scoreboard updates and more as well. And big thanks to our sponsors each and every week making it possible for us to do that. Tennessee Highway Safety Office, Penn Station, East Coast Subs, along with real estate agent Richard Courtney, Enns Bank, Strike and Spare, Family Entertainment, along with Casa of Nashville and Klein Preston Law Group. And you look at the landscape tomorrow. We talked about the fact that the first 3 weeks we had a combined three matchups involving top 25 teams. Tomorrow we get three, so we get as many tomorrow as we've had the first 3 weeks combined. It starts with tomorrow night as third-ranked Georgia plays host to seventh-ranked Notre Dame. A key game tomorrow afternoon is the SEC game on CBS as eighth-ranked Auburn on the road to take on 17th-ranked Texas A&M. Another big affair tomorrow afternoon, Big Ten play is concerned with Wisconsin. Are they a player? Are they a contender this year? Are they a pretender? We'll know more about them. Jonathan Taylor in Wisconsin, ranked 13th this week in the AP poll, playing host to 11th-ranked Michigan. Some of the other games we'll be focused on. If you look at the top 25, Clemson, look, Clemson's not getting challenged. They have nobody at this point on their schedule remaining that's ranked. Let me just repeat that. After Texas A&M back in week two, Clemson has nobody, I mean nobody in their top 25 on their schedule the rest of the way at this point. Alabama, 11 a.m. kickoff for them as they host Southern Miss. We mentioned Georgia hosting 7th-ranked Notre Dame tomorrow night. 4th-ranked LSU here in town, 11 a.m. kickoff over at Vanderbilt Stadium as they take on the Commodores. 5th-ranked Oklahoma is off along with 13th-ranked Penn State. Penn State this week tied with Wisconsin in that position. In addition, 18th-ranked Iowa also off this week. You have 9th-ranked the Gators hosting Tennessee. Another interesting contest will be played tonight. You've got 10th-ranked Utah trying to find a way to go into L.A. and beat USC. Utah is actually favored by 4 in this matchup against the Trojans. You have 12th-ranked Texas. They're getting their play as far as the Big 12 is concerned as they host Oklahoma State. You have Central Florida, 15th-ranked UCF. They're on the road taking on Pitt, and this is one of those things where I actually like Pitt and the points here. I think this will be, you know, a tough affair. I like the way Pitt played Penn State last week, and I think that, Pitt will be able to at least hang with Central Florida tomorrow. And that's why I'm taking Pitt plus the 11 against UCF. Looking at some of the other action involving top 25 tomorrow, you have 16th-ranked Oregon at Stanford. To me, Oregon is going to continue the rest of the way to put themselves in a position to be at least in that conversation as far as the college football playoff. They took care of business against Montana, and they took care of business previously against Nevada after losing to Auburn in the opening week. This week they're at Stanford. Washington State, they're favored heavily by 3 touchdowns. They're favored by actually 18.5. They're at home taking on UCLA. Boise State in action tonight. Can I just say go Air Force? As 20th-ranked Boise State plays host to Air Force tonight. And then wrapping up the top 25, 21st-ranked Virginia, fresh off of the 7-point win against Florida State. They're hosting Old Dominion. You have 22nd-ranked Washington at BYU. Can the magic for BYU continue? 2 weeks ago, it was against Tennessee. Last week, it was against Southern Cal. And now they have another Pac-12 team calling. Can they make it 3? I kind of like Washington in this matchup. How about Ole Miss? A chance to knock off a 23rd-ranked Cal out of the Pac-12. Ole Miss actually favored in this game. by a point or two. So we'll see how that plays out. And then finally, Herm Edwards and Arizona State, they're hosting Colorado. And then finally, TCU, 25th ranked. And for the this is the first time they're ranked this year. 15 straight years at one point or another, a TCU team, the Horned Frogs, have been ranked.
Wow.
And we'll see. They're putting that ranking on the line as they host SMU. They should be able to at least navigate the waters for a week.
Old Southwest rivals right there.
Yeah, so we'll see how that plays out. Coming up on the other side, a chance more to break down some of these games. Trey Scott, he's the national editor for college football with 24/7 Sports. Hey, I'd like to invite you to check out our good buddy, a real estate agent and all-star Richard Courtney. You know, in all these games we're talking about, when the games are on the line, you know, these teams need a go-to producer, right? It's no different when you're looking for a real estate professional when buying or selling a home. Knowledge, trust, results. Richard Courtney, with more than 30 years of experience, is that local real estate all-star. So learn more about his proven marketing plan. You can go to the website at richardcourtney.com or call 615-300-8189. That's 300-8189. Richard Courtney, part of Frederick and Clark Realty at 615-327-4800.
Good afternoon. Still very heavy traffic out of downtown. All the major outbound routes right now are very heavy. 40 East has been running slow out around 840 back into Wilson County out towards Lebanon. Albion Street there at 32nd was tied up due to a crash. Hillsboro Pike at OHB. We saw that wreck blocking traffic a few minutes ago. 500 block at Donaldson Pike over near the airport. Two cars hit really hard. Celebrate autumn at Obergatlinburg during Oktoberfest. September 21st, that's tomorrow, through October 28th. Check it out, Obergatlinburg.com. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
Southern hospitality with a modern twist. Kitchen Notes in the Omni Nashville Hotel offers a farm-to-fork experience for breakfast, lunch, supper, and Sunday brunch. Kitchen Notes uses the freshest ingredients to create great food in a casual dining atmosphere. Don't miss Nashville's only award-winning biscuit bar, serving up a house-crafted sweet, savory, buttermilk, and gluten-free biscuit every day. Try our award-winning patty melt or the grilled pimento cheese sandwich with a side of house-made Tennessee honey slaw, and dessert is always a must in our house. Whether it's in the main dining room or two of our private dining rooms, be sure to make Kitchen Notes part of your downtown Nashville experience. Check out Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville. For reservations, call 615-761-3700. Complimentary valet parking is always available.
You wanted to see me?
Yes, please, have a seat. So here's the thing. When this company brought you on, we took a chance on you. You didn't have that 4-year college degree we typically look for.
Right.
But we gave you a shot anyway. And since then, you've worked incredibly hard and given it your all.
Thanks.
You've been an important asset to the team, but I don't think you can be an intern here anymore. We want to hire you.
You're serious?
Absolutely.
Find your next great employee. Introduce yourself to the grads of life. Who are they? Talent worth knowing about. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
I won't let you down.
I know.
Don't miss out on a resource many innovative companies have already discovered. Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You've messed up your daughter's haircut. Do you A, get spiritual?
Mom, where's the mirror?
Beauty is within. Oh.
B, find the positives.
Less time blow drying, more time texting?
Or C, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have to.
Twinsies!
I kinda love it. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on adoption, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Your exclusive National Sports Radio WNSR Sky Scan forecast. For this afternoon, mostly sunny skies with a high of 88. Going to be mainly clear tonight, low 64. Sunshine Saturday and Sunday, high each day this weekend, 90. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherwing Network and National Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's meteorologist, Jim Rinaldi.
Sports Radio WNSR.
call the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show now. 615-844-5600.
Welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, along with Jay Henson, broadcasting the Goggin Cohall Studios. Don't forget, just after 6 at 6:05, talking week 3 of the NFL, Alan Bell with CBS Sportsline. But right now, going back to the hotline, Trey Scott, national editor for college football with 247sports.com, joins us. Trey, we finally get to a weekend where, you know, you don't have to be that choosy to find a solid football game. Starting with the fact that we have three top 25 matchups, that is as many as the first 3 weeks combined, and it doesn't get any bigger than Georgia hosting Notre Dame, number 3 Georgia, 7th-ranked Notre Dame tomorrow night.
Good stat. I'm excited about Georgia-Notre Dame, Johnny. I kind of be interested to get your read on that. Studying it on paper, and given Notre Dame's in the last few times we've seen them, on a big stage, whether that was in South Bend 2 years ago or against Clemson in the playoff, I kind of think Georgia covers that 14-point spread, and I kind of think they make it a little ugly.
Well, here, I mean, I originally started thinking that, oh, this is a great game for the folks that were on Notre Dame's team last year. They were having to put up with the trash talking on social media from the Georgia players, so they were probably thinking, oh, can't wait. Can't wait to see them in 2019. And then I thought about it from the other perspective. Here's, you're going to have as many people outside the stadium as you are inside the stadium, because that's how hot this ticket would have been. They could have sold 200,000 tickets for this game. And these players, you know, forget about running their mouths or running their fingers on Twitter. This is a chance for them to allow their football play to speak for them. Notre Dame, I go back to 2012. I go back to last year. You brought up the loss in the college football playoff. When the stage gets big like this, it seems like Notre Dame lets down their fans. And in this case, I think tomorrow night is going to be on display. I mean, look, Georgia knew how close they were 2 years ago. And that was the coming out party, too, for Jake Fromm. That started that run in 2017. That's why somebody by the name of Jacob Eason is now out in Washington. So I bring this up. I just think this is a game that Georgia will win somewhere in the neighborhood of 17-21. Notre Dame may try to stop Georgia as far as the running attack, but this isn't week one. You know, we are in the season to the point with all the time in the practice sessions. Fromm has certainly had the opportunity to develop some rapport with his young, talented receivers, and it may be not the running game, but actually the passing game for Georgia that does Notre Dame in.
Yeah, so Georgia's got those two true freshman receivers, George Pickens and Dominic Blaylock, who were, you know, elite recruits, kind of doing what we thought they would. A few years ago, Notre Dame would have a line of scrimmage advantage over just about anybody. And 2 years ago, they had that offensive line with two first-round picks. I just think Georgia's going to maul them on both sides. And you're probably right, Johnny. Like, Notre Dame's path to a win here is taking away the run and making Jake Fromm beat them through the air. But Jake Fromm is certainly in this slot. He's a potential first-round pick. He's deadly accurate. I think he can do that. I think he can beat Notre Dame through the air. And unless Notre Dame is ripping off, you know, massive chunk plays that we're not really expecting, unless Ian Book is all of a sudden super accurate again. It's only been two games for Notre Dame this year, but he hasn't been very accurate at all, recovering around 60%. He wasn't good against Louisville in the week one opener. I just don't see them keeping up. And I think for Georgia, you mentioned the tweets about, oh, we should have been in the playoff. You mentioned, you know, Georgia is the consensus number 3 team in the country. And I think Kirby Smart uses Saturday night to make a statement and an example that this isn't just an Alabama-Clemson year, guys. Like, Georgia is as good as any of those two. We wanted the discussion so much for a big two. We want it to be a big three. I think Georgia keeps its foot on the gas.
And the other part, too, Georgia's won 15 straight at home, so they've got that long winning streak working. But you go back to the line. I mean, I don't know what your size and weight is. I'm 5'9", 178. The Georgia line, they've got me by 8 inches as far as in height, and they also have me on average 160 pounds per person. I mean, think about that. 5 linemen averaging 6'5", 300 and almost 29 pounds each.
Massive line. Saw Andrew Thomas at SEC Media Days massive dude, best left tackle in football. And Notre Dame actually has a good defensive line. They might have two early round draft picks. Julian Okwara is great. So Georgia needs its offensive line, and Isaiah Wilson's probably going to be healthy. I think he's going to try to go to the right tackle, but even if he doesn't, they've got, you know, five-star Cade Mays back him up. Best offensive line in football, elite running back. I maybe Notre Dame commits to taking away the run, but I don't know if they're going to be able to.
One of the other matchups involving top 25 is also flavored with SEC style, too. You have the Auburn Tigers, ranked eighth this week. Already they're looking for Gus Malzahn's replacement. I'll never understand that. And they're on the road taking on Texas A&M, ranked 17th. These are kind of games where, you know, and Gus, I had a chance for the one-on-one visit with Gus Malzahn back during SEC Media Days. And I could just see it in his eyes and hear it in his voice. He's very confident about his group. He's certainly loving being in this position, calling plays. And do I think that Auburn has kept some things under wraps until now, finally a real game for them? Absolutely, after the Oregon game. I think there's some few other things that they've developed since the Oregon win that's going to be on display for them against Texas A&M. This is, you know, everybody talks about how I wish we had an 18 playoff, right? And I say, no, keep it at four. I don't want to see extra layers to the college football playoff. Because here's the thing. This game tomorrow, both of these teams, if they went out the rest of the way, whether it's Auburn or A&M, despite their one loss to Clemson, guess what? If you went out the rest of the way, you're going to be one of the four playoff teams if you're A&M or Auburn. This is an elimination game from that standpoint. So I don't know why we keep wanting eight playoff teams when you have games like this that mean that much. Here we are in September. We still have another week of football next week in September, and yet this is an elimination game tomorrow.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're right about that. And for Notre Dame also against Georgia, that's also an elimination game. But, you know, back to this one, Auburn – I am surprised that they're four-point underdogs. I know it's Kyle Field, but it's a day game, and I know it's a true freshman, Bo Nix, so, you know, he clearly can play up to any stage we'd ask him to. Auburn is so good on the offensive and the defensive lines. Kellen Mond has been so-so this year. Like, I saw him in person at Clemson. I didn't think he was very good. I think he completed 57% of his passes, wasn't a remote rushing threat. And I think that Auburn kind of defensively gets after him the same way Clemson does, because they have the pieces to do that. They can bring pressure in lots of different spots. And you're right, Gus Malzahn's probably got something up his sleeve. It's been almost a month now since we really saw Auburn in a primetime setting. You know, Bo Nix is getting more comfortable. He completed 12 of 16 passes in his last game. I think Auburn wins this one. And I think – if Auburn wins this one, everyone should stop talking about Gus Malzahn's job. Because at 4-0, now you've beaten Oregon, and now you have a win over Texas A&M to kind of guarantee you like a top three SEC West finish. And I don't know how that can't be good enough for Auburn.
I picked Auburn to go 10-1 this year heading into the Iron Bowl. And for that to happen, it's a game like this that they have to have. And that's why I've got Auburn. I like them getting the points. But something tells me they're going to find a way to get it done tomorrow in College Station. Another big game tomorrow, Big Ten, and it's also a matchup where both teams are ranked in the top 25. How about 13th-ranked Wisconsin hosting 11th-ranked Michigan? Here's the thing. When you compare the numbers under the regime with Paul Chryst with Wisconsin and comparing him to Jim Harbaugh, I mean, he's won more. He's got division titles. Jim Harbaugh doesn't have that. He's 4-0 in bowl games. He also needs one more win against a top 25 team to make his number at 500. He's 7-8 in those matchups. The only thing he doesn't have, Jim Harbaugh has the advantage, winning two out of the three meetings under his direction. So to me, I look at the fact that also, I mean, this is only the fifth meeting since 2001 for Michigan in Wisconsin, but they haven't won there since 2001. They're 0-4. I don't think Michigan has lived up to their billing this year. They were supposed to be one of those teams in the college football playoff, and they may still get there. I love Jonathan Taylor. I like Wisconsin, and I like them to take care of business tomorrow.
I do, too. I think Michigan's in trouble here. Wisconsin hasn't been scored on yet. best defense in the country against a Michigan offense that hasn't been remotely the spread threat that we thought we were going to get. In fact, through two games compared to last season, Johnny, they're down across the board in every single statistic. And even worse, they've already committed five turnovers. Shea Patterson has been a turnover machine. Last year, all season long, Michigan committed 11 turnovers. And to make it even worse, their only offensive bright spot has been a true freshman running back named Zach Charbonnet, and he might not play Saturday. His health is like this sort of mystery swirling around in Ann Arbor right now. So you've got no offensive punch against a defense that was going to be really stout anyway. And then Wisconsin, like, their quarterback, Jack Cohn, is being exactly who he needs to be. He's taking care of the football, and he's handing it off to Jonathan Taylor. Wisconsin wins, and this one's going to be a really sour one for Jim Harbaugh, because we're going to be 4 weeks in, and already the buzzards are going to be circling. And then meanwhile, over at Wisconsin, now you have to, if they win this game, you have to start factoring them into the college football playoff discussion as a dark horse, at least.
We look at a matchup tomorrow, number one ranked Clemson. And look, if I'm a fan of Clemson, this is one of those things that maybe that, like last year, when Clemson realized how good they were going to be in 2019, this is maybe where, if we had the commissioner czar of college football, you can be it, I can be on the committee, we'll point somebody else, where we have 1 week where we go, okay, let's just fit some teams in here to make this more attractive. Because the reason I bring it up, Clemson does not play anybody the rest of the way. They only played Texas A&M. They have nobody the rest of the way ranked in the top 25. And this week they get Charlotte. This is going to be, I bring this up too. You realize there's only one quarterback playing college football in the FBS level that has thrown more interceptions than Trevor Lawrence this year? Only one. He already has five interceptions. Only one quarterback in the nation has thrown more. He only threw four the entire season last year. I think this schedule for Clemson is going to be the thing that hurts them the most, because I don't think they get better with this schedule. While all these other teams, they may get banged up, but they're improving week in and week out when they've got this great competition.
Okay, now there's two things to unpack here. I agree. Clemson is not going to have many chances to improve and be battle-tested. But non-conference-wise, Johnny, they have a much better slate than Texas A&M, because they at least, or sorry, than Alabama, because they at least play Texas A&M. Alabama played Duke, New Mexico State, and tomorrow they play Southern Miss. It's not Clemson's fault that it has suffocated the rest of the ACC out of contention. So I feel like that's important in this discussion. Like, yes, Clemson's schedule is cake, but they at least play two SEC teams. And, you know, maybe one day for Clemson to wake up and Florida State's good again and Miami's good again and Virginia Tech's good again. Until then, I think, actually, the EC schedule might be good, because Trevor Lawrence has been forcing things just a little bit, and I think a decrease in competition is going to allow him to get back on track. We're not even going to notice it, but for the next month, they're going to play some bad teams, and Trevor's going to have four touchdowns, three touchdowns, five touchdowns. No interceptions is his hope. I think by the time, you know, push comes to shove, by the time it comes to November, Trevor Lawrence's stat ratio looks a lot better. He's a lot more comfortable. And I think it might help him to be out of the spotlight, because it's clear, I've watched all three of their games this year, it's clear every single time he's making the throw, he's trying to be the same guy who took down Alabama in January. He's trying to live up to that standard, which is a really, really high standard, because he looked like one of the best quarterbacks ever that night. So I think if he can just kind of fly under the radar a little bit, he'll start to get his groove by the time the conference race and the playoff push comes into effect.
I will say this. When Bobby Bowden was at Florida State, when they joined the ACC, it raised the bar for all the other teams in the ACC. So, you know, I don't think it's Clemson demoralizing the rest. That's just one game, right? I mean, Alabama, despite their dominance with their five national championships since 2009, does that mean Alabama's the only good football team in the SEC? Absolutely not. When you've got how many teams this week? Oh, five. From the SEC, ranked in the top nine in the country. So, nice try. Totally disagree with you on that one. And Alabama will have their chances to be challenged with A&M in the month of October, and they get LSU, Mississippi State, and Auburn in the month of November. So, this to me is a disgrace to the ACC for them to be in this position in the first place.
But it's I get what you're saying. I'm just, it's not Clemson's. I don't know if it's Clemson's fault. And hey, for Alabama, Georgia's just now kind of becoming the Georgia they should be. LSU's just now becoming LSU. I mean, it hasn't been. The SEC is for sure the best conference in college football. But, you know, let's see. Let's give maybe the ACC turns it up a notch in a year or two. Until then, Clemson's going to keep coasting.
Hey, if it wasn't for Nick Saban and Alabama, Les Miles would still be head coach at LSU and probably have another ring as far as a national championship ring or two. Because you look at all those close calls, games that LSU had won and then blew it in the end on, like, final plays or even overtime miracles and things like that. So, hey, we never have enough time. I always appreciate you. Remind everybody again what they can expect coverage-wise as far as college football with 24/7 Sports.
Yeah, definitely got to go check out your favorite team's individual 24/7 Sports website. And then I'm on a daily podcast called the College Football Daily. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. 15-minute news updates every morning.
It's never dull with you, Trey. I love it.
All right.
Thank you so much. Have a good weekend. That's Trey Scott, once again, national editor for college football coverage with 24/7 Sports. Coming up, we'll wrap up hour number two. We'll be with you tonight until 6:45, Ensworth High football, a big one. They're always big if it's the next game, but really big tonight as they host Baylor. Two unbeaten teams taking the field tonight. Pregame at 6:45 and kickoff at 7 right here on Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. Still very heavy traffic out of downtown. All the major outbound routes right now are very heavy. 40 East has been running slow out around 840 back into Wilson County out towards Lebanon. Albion Street there at 32nd was tied up due to a crash. Hillsboro Pike at OHB. We saw that wreck blocking traffic a few minutes ago. 500 block at Donaldson Pike over near the airport. Two cars hit really hard. Celebrate autumn at Obergatlinburg during Oktoberfest. September 21st, that's tomorrow, through October 28th. Check it out, obergatlinburg.com. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
Hello, I'm Greg Pogue, and welcome to the OVC Football Weekly Spotlight, brought to you by Delta Dental of Tennessee. The state's leading dental benefits carrier now offers Delta Vision in partnership with VSP. Protect your eyes and smile with Delta Dental of Tennessee. Visit DeltaDentalTN.com to learn more. Trailing 28-7 after one quarter, then number 16 Jacksonville State outscored number 4 Eastern Washington 42-17 the rest of the way to win 49-45. It is the highest-ranked opponent JSU has beaten since 2002. And biggest comeback since 2010 when rallying from 21 down to beat Ole Miss. Austin Peay junior defensive back Cordell Jackson became the first player in school history to return 2 interceptions for 2 touchdowns in the 48-34 win at Mercer, the Govs' first non-conference road win over scholarship program since 2007. Tennessee State's Chris Rowland and Tennessee Tech's Metrius Fleming returned kickoffs for touchdowns and are 2 of just 11 FCS players to return a kickoff for a score in 2019. Tennessee Tech's 2-1 start is its best since 2013, and the 2 wins match the win total the past 2 years combined. Jacksonville State quarterback Zarek Cooper was OVC Offensive Player of the Week for a 2nd straight time, while Austin Peay defensive back Cordell Jackson was Defensive Player of the Week. Top specialist was Tennessee State's Chris Rowland, while top newcomer was Tennessee Tech receiver and returner Metrius Fleming. Jacksonville State defensive back Marlon Bridges was National Defensive Player of the Week by Stats. All games Saturday are broadcast on ESPN Plus include Eastern Illinois at Indiana State, Eastern Kentucky at Presbyterian, West Virginia State at number 23 Southeast Missouri, Arkansas Pine Bluff at Tennessee State, Tennessee Tech at Western Illinois, North Alabama at number 10 Jacksonville State, Morehead State at Murray State, and Austin Peay at East Tennessee State. This has been the OVC Football Weekly Spotlight presented by Delta Dental of Tennessee. Unleash your smile power with Delta Dental. I'm Greg Pogue wishing everybody a great weekend of OVC football.
This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show, every weekday afternoon on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Frank's with you, along with Jay Henson, broadcasting out of the Goggin Cole Hall Studios. You know, in Nashville, there's a car dealer that values the importance of creating a partnership with their clients. At Picasso Auto, they look at you not just as a customer, they see you as a friend. So upgrade your ride now by discovering the wide range of makes and models at Picasso Auto. Here's the thing, too. Each of their cars hand-selected auction by the ownership group, where they use years of experience to carefully choose only the best for you. And then, after an extensive inspection process, Picasso Auto is able to sell their vehicles at a lower cost, and this is where it really truly benefits you. In most cases, we're talking about 10 to 20% under the suggested retail price. Warranties, you ask? They've got them. Credit issues? No problem. So come in, have a cup of coffee, and discuss what you're looking for in your next ride at Picasso Auto. Yes, they're open on Saturdays as well. They're located at 3319 Nolensville Pike. It's just south of Thompson Lane. Or for more information, you can go to their website at PicassoAuto.com or give them a call, 615-933-1111. That's 933-1111. Picasso Auto, the art of autos. Coming up at the top of the hour, Alan Bell talking NFL Week 3. He is with CBS Sportsline, all leading up to Ensworth High football tonight, 6:45 for the pregame, kickoff at 7. Jonathan Schaefer along with Greg Pogue, Dan Bradley, all on the call. Hour number 2 in the books, hour number 3 on the way. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.